Begin the current daf Maseches Megillah daf Chav Ches. Begin on the bottom line of Chav Zayin Mabez, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf regarding students asking their teacher, "Why did you live a long life?" Because the previous teaching, when they had from one of the previous teachings, that said that they asked him, "What did you merit to live a long life?" So he said, "I never urinated within 4 amas of where I prayed," which was a discussion from the previous Gemara, which said that actually that's not an obligation, and therefore there was something of a stringency he had, because we brought a proof from our Mishnah that actually one is allowed to even make urinals, according to one opinion, in where there used to be a shul, for sure just to urinate in a place where someone had once prayed. But that was something he said, that because he didn't do that, he merited a long life. So the Gemara brings other teachings, which our Gemara continues on the theme regarding students asking, "Why did you live a long life, or in what merit?" Says the Gemara, Shalu Tamidu Bezer Preda. The students asked Reb Preda, "B'ma harach t'yam? In what merit did you live a long life?" So Amalemi said to them, "Well, miyamai l'kadmeni adam l'beis ha-medrash. In my days, no one ever came to the beis ha-medrash, to the study hall, before me. And as a continuum, b'chuf ha-chasim and aleph, v'libirachti, I never made a blessing by a suda, by a meal, l'fnei kain, before a kain." As the Gemara says in Gittin of Netesim Beis, the Pasuk says regarding the Kehanim, v'yikar chaval v'kidashtoi, which is for everything of sanctity, the kain's going to be first. He opens up the first aliyah, he's the first one to make a bracha. So I never made a bracha before a kain. V'loichalti mebehemash lehurma matnesene, I never eat from an animal, from meat, where it's Kohanic gifts, which the biblical law is that there's from even a regular chulin animal, one has to take the foreleg and the jaw and the maw from the stomach and give those parts of the slaughtered animal to the kain. I never ate from the animal if those parts were not separated yet and given to the kain. As the Gemara says, because Amr Bitzchok Kamer Bichon, it says, "Asal la'echel mebehema," it's forbidden to eat from the meat of an animal, shlohur matnasel, that the Kohanic gifts of those animal parts weren't given yet to the Kohanim. More of Amr Bitzchok, he says, "Kala'echel mebehema shlohur matnasel," if someone eats from the meat of an animal, that those Kohanic gifts were not given those limbs to the Kohen, kilo'echel tvalm, it's as if he ate untithed produce. Where that's the same thing by grain and things which have halachas of trumas and maestras, where it's considered tevel, untithed, until you separate the things. He wrote, it's a similar idea by the meat of the animal. So Shigma says, "V'les tilchas hakafase." Halacha is not like him. No, the halacha of tevel is uniquely by grain and by wine and by oil. It doesn't have that halacha over here by the meat of an animal, although there is such a mitzvah, but if it wasn't taken off yet, it's not considered tevel. Now the Gemara explains and asks, he said, "V'liberachti lifnei kain." He says, "I never made a bracha on food by a meal before the kain made the bracha first." Says Gemara, "Lememed mal yusi." Is that to say that was praiseworthy what he did, and therefore he thinks he lived a long life because of that? But V'amr b'yechanan, he says, "Kol tamachacham shemavarach lefanav, any tamarik scholar. If someone else makes a bracha before him, I feel a kain god lamarts, even if it's a high priest, but it's ignoramus, eisa tamachacham chayv misa. That tamachacham is liable for the death because he let someone else make a blessing before him." Shnem like says the pasuk initially. It says, "Kol misanai," Hashem says, "all those who hate me, avu mavus," they love death. Now, "atikir misanai," don't read it, "those who hate me, ela masniai," those who cause people to hate me. In other words, the Talmud Chacham, who's now second class in front of this ignoramus, people are going to say, "You see, it's not such a big deal, it's not even so great to learn Torah, look at this Talmud Chacham, people are going before him." So that's actually not a good thing. Why does he think that he let a kohen go ahead and make even a kohen gadol? But if it's Am Haaretz, he's not allowed to go before the Talmud Chacham. Why does he think it's good that he didn't make a bracha before the kohen? Says the Gemara, "Ki kama ihu b'shavin." Reb Preid was talking about when he was on equal stature as a Talmudic scholar, as a kohen. You're right, if it was Am Haaretz, he would go first. But if it's equal stature, he didn't go before the kohen, because then that the kohen has the mitzvah b'kidashtri. That is what he held was a merit that he lived a long life. Continues the Gemara, similarly, "Shalu tamidav es Reb Nechunya ben Akana." The students asked of Reb Nechunya ben Akana, "But maharach t'yam, and what merit did you live a long life?" So Amalehem, he said to them, "Miyamai lo niskabadati b'klein chaveri. In my days, I never got honor from my friend's embarrassment," which Gemara is going to explain exactly what does that mean. "V'lo yalsal mitasi killas chaveri, never got on my bed the curse of my friend. Uvachin b'memayin ha-yisein, I was also forgiving of my money." As the Gemara explains, when they said, "Lo niskabadati b'klein chaveri," I never got honor out of the disgrace of my friend, is kihad Rav Huna, like we find by Rav Huna, that Dari Mara Kasva, he was carrying a spade, a shovel, on his shoulder. So Asra Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi, so Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi came along, but Kadar Mina, he started taking it away from him to honor him, to take it, like, you know, the God Ladar, you know, let me carry it for Rebbe. So Amalei said to him, "Look, Iragilas the Doris B'masach, if it's normal for you that you carry such a tool in your city, so Dre, so I'll let you carry it. V'ilei, but if not, Isikuri, Ano, Bisilusidach, my honor, on your expense, for your embarrassment, Leinichali, that I don't want. I don't want you to be doing something that's really embarrassing for you, but you're doing it for my honor. That's what he said, that I never got honor out of the kaloin, the embarrassment of my friend. When he said, he never came onto my bed, the curse of my friend, is kihad mazutra, like we find by mazutra. Kavasalik lapuri, when he would go to sleep at night on his bed, Amma, he would say, Sharile, and the gear says, Mari, lachaman de tsarin. Hashem should forgive anyone who pained me, where there is such a tefillah for someone to say, but Kriyasha Malamita, that says, the curse of my friend, although he was upset at someone, never came onto his bed, he would forgive them before he went to sleep. And the third thing he said, Uvachim b'mayna, he said, I was forgiving with my money. The Amma Mara, like the master says, Eev, Vachim b'mayna have. Eev also, the biblical figure, he was forgiving with his money. When he would pay for something, he would add an extra pruta, the lowest denomination of his money, you know, to make sure he didn't want to be taking from the other person. He was forgiving on his money. That's exactly what Rabbi Nachman ben Elkanah also did. Now, Shol Rabbi Kiva as Rabbi Nachman HaGadol. Rabbi Kiva asked the great Rabbi Nachman to differentiate from others, who is Rabbi Nachman HaGadol, Amalei said to Bemaharach Yam, why did you merit to live a long life? So Asu Gavze, so his servants who attended to this Rabbi Nachman HaGadol, who they were his eunuchs, they were castrated, they came along, they started hitting Rabbi Kiva. They thought, like, as if it bothers him that this old, like, why are you living so old? Like, you shouldn't be around anymore. Like, as if he was upset that he's living a long life. So they started hitting him. So Sol Yosef Aresha Dedikla, so Rabbi Kiva went and climbed up to the top of a tree. Amalei, and he said to Rabbi Nachman HaGadol, he said, Rabbi, my master, Im Namer, if it says in the Pasuk, Keves, it says as a keves echates of a bacon. When it talks about the carbon tum and the daily sacrifice in the base of Mikdash, it says the one lamb you should do in the morning. So it, when it says keves, is in the singular. It doesn't say kvasim, it says keves. So lama nema echa, why say one? Keves itself means one. Why say keves echa? So he said to his attendants, oh, tzuvim medrabanahu. That man, meaning Rabbi Kiva, is a Talmudic scholar. Shafku, leave him alone. Don't bother him, because they were chasing him, trying to hit him. So Amalei, he responded to his question. He said, the reason why it says echad one, you're right, we already know it's one from Kevis. It means meyuchet shebedra. It means it's the one, it's the most distinct one from the flock, meaning the karbanas have to be from the choicest animals. Now, Amalei, now he responded to his original question. Why did he merit to live a long life? He says, meyamer lekebalti matonis. In all my days, I never accepted gifts. V'loyimadete al-midois, I never stood on principle to pay back bad to someone who had pained me. Uvachim b'memayin ha-yisi, and I was easygoing with my money. As the Gemara explains, lekebalti matonis, when he says, I didn't take gifts, Kihad Rebbe Laza, like we find Rebbe Laza, Kav Meshadrele Matanis Mebein Nasi, when from the house of the Nasi, of the Jewish people, which was basically the leader of the Jewish people, when they would send him gifts, Lohav Ashakal, he wouldn't take. Kav Mezavnili, when they would invite him, Lohav Azal, he wouldn't come. Amalui said to them, Loi Nichalu Hu Da'achi, says, don't you people want me to live? Tachsilik, says the Pasi Mishle, Soin Matanis Yichi, the one who hates gifts will live. So because he didn't take gifts, therefore he lived a long life. Now, however, Zera, Kevin Meshadrele Min Bein Nasiya, when they would send him gifts from the house of the leader of the Jewish people, Lahav Ashakal, he wouldn't take. But Kevin Mezamnele, when they would invite him, then Azla, he would go. Why? Amma, he said, Ishyakuri de Mishakri B. They get honored when I come. The gifts, I don't want to take. Sometimes, taking is giving. So by him going for the invite, was actually not taking. It was actually doing for them that they felt honored that he came, and therefore he did that. And when he said, V'lei Madti al Midaisa, that I didn't stand on my attributes, meaning on principle, the Amar Rava, like Rava says, Kalamava al Midaisa, whoever bypasses his attributes, meaning he forgiving on his principles, Mavir Mimena Kol B'Shova, so then they wipe away from him all his sins. Shnamek says, the Pasuk in Micha, when it talks about Hashem, it says Hashem is Nisi of, and he carries sin, V'ayva Pesha, and he looks away from transgression. Which the interpretation is, Lami Naisi Oven. It's explaining, for whom does Hashem carry his sins? Lami Sha'iva Pasha, for someone who looks away for transgressions, someone who looks away for what people have done to him and doesn't repay them in equal, is the type of a person that Hashem wipes away his sins. Shol Rebbe is Rabbi Shimon Karcha. Again, another incident where Rebbe asked Rabbi Shimon Karcha, but Maharach to Yamim, what did you merit to live a long life? Samalais, Rabbi Shimon Karcha said to him, Katzta Bechai, what, you're disgusted with my life? What, you're so upset that I'm living a long life? So Malai, so Rebbe said to him, no, Rebbe, my teacher, Tairi, it's Taira, Velumen on Nitzarch, and I need to learn from you what you did. Maybe I can do the same and merit to live a long life. So Malai said to him, in my days, I never gazed at the figure of a wicked person. Like Rabbi Yechon said, Asal Adam Lestakel, it's forbidden for a person to steer, but sell him the Mus Adam Rasha, in the figure of the form of a wicked person. Shlomo said, the Pasukim Lochem Beis, where we find that Elisha, who was a tzaddik, said to Yehoram, who was a Rasha, Luli Pnei Yehoshaphat Melch Yehuda Ani Naisei, if not for the fact that I carry the respect of Yehoshaphat, the king of Judea, If I would look at you and steer at you, of course I wouldn't. Why not? Because he's wicked, and it's forbidden for a person to steer at the face of a wicked person. Moreover, Blaza Amar, he says, Ain of Chaos. If one does steer at a wicked person, his eyesight gets dimmed. Shnemak says the Pasik, but he kizak in Yitzchak, that when Yitzchak became elder, but Techiana Ain of Marais, his eyes became dimmed from being able to see. Why? Says the Gemara from this stock base of Russia. Because he looked at his wicked son, Esav, and that made his eyesight dim. Says the Gemara of Hagar Malay, that would cause Yitzchak to become blind, to his eyesight to become dimmed. But for Amr Yitzchak, he says, it should never be light in someone's eyes, even the curse of a simple person. Shahari Vimelech, because Avimelech, who wasn't a great tzaddik, Kilul is Sarah, in the sky Mizar, he cursed Sarah, and his curse was fulfilled in her children, meaning in Yitzchak. Shlomo, it says in the Pasuk that he told her, says, he said to Sarah, here's the money, you know, for your brother, because of the transgression I did against you, and hine hulach ksus einayim. Here should be a garment for your eyes, which is because of his eyes that gazed at her. But says the Gemara, I'll take a ksus, don't read it as a garment, and the kesias einayim is the covering of the eyes, like a film, like a cataract, like, I mean to say that the eyes are going to get dimmed, become blind. That was fulfilled in her child, in Yitzchak, because of the curse of Avimelech. So it's because of Kilas Hedid, not because he gazed at his son of Esav. Says the Gemara, Havaha Garmel, as we find elsewhere, that sometimes one on its own would not have caused it, but it was together because he gazed at his wicked son and because his mother was cursed by Avimelech. Rav Amar Mahachi brings a different source that it's not good to look at the face of a wicked person. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, Se'ez Penei Rasha, beholding the face of a wicked person, like Taiv, it's not good. Now the Gemara goes back to that narrative with Rebbe and Rebbe Shuban Karcha. So B'shas Pitzirasa, when Rebbe was taking leave of Rebbe Shuban Karcha, so Amalei, he said to him, Rebbe, my master, Barcheni, bless me. So Amalei said to him, Hiratzen Shetegi L'chatzi Yameh, it may be the will of Hashem that you reach to half the days of my life. Said Rebbe, Ulakululoi, and I shouldn't live to all the years of your life? Because as we find that Rebbe Shuban Karcha lived a long life, as he asked him. So Amalei, Rebbe Shuban Karcha said to him, Haba Macharecha, but those who come after you, meaning your sons, Behema Yiru, what, they should be shepherds? It's not good for you to live a long life like me, he said. Because if that would be the case, then your sons will never get to the stage of being a ruler because you're the Nasi. And that means to say all the days they're just going to be commoners. It's not so good that you live a long life so that your sons can take over the reins and be a leader like you. Now the Gemara continues on the theme that we mentioned before, the Avu Ba'i and Minyamin Ba'i. Chadama once says, Tazily, it should come to me a great reward, Delois Takli Bekuti, I didn't look at a non-Jew. Chadama once says, Tazily, Delois Avdi Shutras Badekuti, says, it should come to me a reward because I didn't do a partnership with a guy, which elsewhere the Gemara talks about that because that might cause them to say something that's inappropriate and the Jewish partner will have been a cause. So again, one of them was this idea that we said before, not to look at someone that's not righteous. Shol Tamidavis Reb Zeir, the students asked Reb Zeir, B'maharach Yam, with what merit did you live a long life? Some of them, he said to them, Miyamei lehikpadi b'tech beisi, I never was particular, which is another terminology of like not getting upset in my house. B'lei tza'adati b'fnei mishagol b'men, I never walked in front of someone that was greater than me. B'lei hiharti, and I never thought words of Torah b'mevois hamatunafis in alleyways that had filth over there, which is forbidden to think in Torah in places that have filth. And I also never walked 4 amas without thinking, without constantly in my mouth saying words of Torah. And I never walked 4 amas without wearing tefillin. I never slept in the study hall, in the Beis HaMedrash, not a real sleep, and not even a temporary dozing off sleep. And I never rejoiced with the downfall of my friend. And here the Girsa is referred as Rashi brings it. I never called my friend Bechachi Nasai, which is some type of derogatory nickname, that I never called my friend by that. V'amalan, some say even Bechanichasai, which is even a nickname that it's been going on for many generations, for many years. The whole family has this name. Even that, he always wanted to use the appropriate, proper name that the person had. And he says that's one of the reasons why he merited to live a long life. Now, continuing the theme of the previous mission regarding the sanctity of a Beis HaKnesses and regarding what you're allowed to do in a shul, says the Gemara Oidam Rabbi Yehuda, says, Beis HaKnesses Shacharav, a shul that was destroyed, so emas bidim b'teiche. You cannot eulogize there, meaning even though it's not even a standing shul, but still there's certain things you can't do over there. You don't hold a funeral to eulogize over there. You can't twist ropes and threads over there, which the truth is, it means for any type of work. It's just because to thread ropes, you need to have a big open space, and a shul is a big open space, and therefore that would be worthy of that. But we don't do that over there. And the impersonal techem mitzudis, you don't spread out traps over there to capture animals. Vein shoytchen al gagay peris, you don't spread out on the roof of the shul with produce to dry out. Vein oisin oisik habadrai, you don't make it as a shortcut. Shanam, like it says in the pasuk in Vayikra, we're talking about a destroyed Beis HaKnesses. Because it says, Vashimaisi es mikdashechem. Hashem says, I will destroy your holy places. Now, that means to say, I will destroy, and it's still calling it mikdashechem. Kedushas and Avkashen Shem, which tells us that the Beis HaKnesses still has a sanctity, even if it's already desolate. Moreover, Alubay Savim, if grass starts to grow, because it's again it's deserted, Layitlash, a person should not tear out the grass, Memne Agmas Nefesh, because of grief. When you leave the grass there, that people should be grieved when they see it, and they can remember, oh, remember when the shul used to be around, and we used to go there and gather there and learn and daven over there, and people will beseech mercy that it should go back to its former glory. So it's good that it's over there, that it'll inspire people to try to get that back again. Now again, this was all the teaching of Rabbi Huda, where he was the last teaching of the previous Mishnah, who he said that you could actually sell a shul for whatever you want to, but here he's talking about by a destroyed shul, there's still some limitations what you could do, there's still some sanctity in the shul, because it was still a shul, it was just destroyed. Now turn around, the Braisa, that Batik Nesias, regarding a shul, Ein Neigin Behen Kalas Reish, so you can't act what's called light-headed over there. Which all the terminologies that the Bryce is about to talk about are all forms of kalas reish, which the word kalas means lightweight, meaning you treat it as a lightweight, like it's not a big thing. There has to be a heaviness when one comes into a synagogue, to a shul, which is in oichel behen, you don't eat over there, vein chasen behen, you don't drink in it, as a continue to beis, vein noisen behem, and you don't adorn yourself over there, vein metailen behem, you don't just stroll around over there, vein nechnosen behen becham nechama, you don't go into a shul because there's air conditioning on, because it's hot outside, ubeksham neeksham, you don't go in because to as a reprieve from the rain, vein maspid menhespet shal yachad, neither do you eulogize the eulogy of an individual type of a funeral, you don't do that in a shul. Aval bat karin behen, you read from the Chumash over there, Veshayin Ben, you learn Mishnah is over there, Maspid Men Hespid Shal Rab. You could do a funeral, that of the public, meaning like a Talmudic scholar who passed away, where many Jews have to gather to eulogize and to mourn him, where Shul is fitting for that because it's a big open area, so therefore that would be something that would be allowed to be done in the Beis HaKnesses. Now, Amar Bihuda, he says, Eimer say, when did we say this? It'd be Yeshuvan, when it's settled, when the Shul is built. Of Bechubanu, when it's destroyed, then Manichan Eisen, then actually, all these things that we said you don't do, you actually leave it alone. You let grass grow over there and you don't tear out the grass. Because of that, it should be grief for people when they see that. Now the Gemara wonders, what should be going on? Who mentioned anything about grass? Meaning, where did he hear from the Tanakhama that made it sound like as if you should do things that grass shouldn't grow? And that Rebbe says, oh, when did we say this, that grass shouldn't grow? Is when it's settled. So you want it to be clean and nice. But when it's destroyed, actually you let it grow grass, the Tanakhama didn't mention that. So the Gemara says, you're right, there's words missing from the Tanakhama, this is what it's supposed to say. So he was talking about all the things you shouldn't do in a shul, because you have to treat it with respect. Additionally, the Tanakhama said, which these words are missing, you should sweep a shul, a Beis HaKnesses, and you should also, because their floors were dust, so you should put water to settle the dust, so that grass shouldn't grow. Not appropriate in the shul. That is what Amar Bihuda, he said, Amar say, when do we say this, that you have to sweep and settle the dust with water? That's be yeshuvan, when it's settled, when it's built. So after that you sweep, then you pour the water down to settle the dust. Avabachurbanim, when it's destroyed, then manichin aysan lalas, and you actually let it go up, the dust, and let the grass grow. And Alabemasaf Malitlish, when the grass grows, you don't tear it out, because we want people to be pained by that, and then they'll beseech mercy so that the shul is rebuilt. Now, in related discussion, Amar Basi says, however, but the Knesset in Bavel, but the shuls in Bavel, Atanai Heinasun, they're made on condition that they should be able to use it for mundane purposes. Not like we said that you can't eat and you can't drink. We find many shuls, they're eating over there and drinking. There was a stipulation when they built it. Now, but Vafel Pekin, but even so, says Ravasi, ain't noigin mekalis reish, but you're still not allowed to treat it with lightheadedness. Umayni, what's that referring to? Cheshbayin is calculations, you can't make calculations in a shul, even with a stipulation. Moreover, Amar Ravasi says, Bezekinesa shemachashvim b'cheshbayin is a shul that people make calculations over there. Malina b'yasa meis. So, which it sounds like that as if, okay, then there's an obligation to have a dead person stay overnight in the shul. Which the Gemara wonders, Malina Sokataydik, you would think that if they're making mathematical calculations of the financial calculations in the shul, then they have to leave a dead person out overnight? What type of an omen is that? What, you have to put a dead person overnight? Says Gemara, Ella, no, what it means to say is, L'seif she'elinu b'meis mitzvah. If they're going to make calculations, which is kalas reish, frivolity, inappropriate in the basic Knesset, then they're going to end up having out overnight in the shul a meis mitzvah. Someone that there's going to be people dying in the city that have no one to bury them. And they're going to have nowhere to put them, but they're going to put them in the shul. That's going to be a punishment because they made cheshbonis in the basic Knesset. Moreover, the Braisa said, ve'in noisen ben. And you can't adorn yourself, you can't do your grooming over there in the shul. To which Amar Rav, he says, but chachamim v'tamideyim mutarn. But the sages and their students are permitted to do that in the shul. Because the Amar Yishum Alevi says, my Bei Rabbanon, why is it that the Beis HaMedrash is called Bei Rabbanon, the house of the rabbis? It's literally Beis HaDrabbanon, it's the house of the rabbis. Just like in your own house, you're going to, you know, adorn yourself and put on your stuff. So the Beis HaKnesses is the same thing for the rabbis. That's where they spend all their day. Therefore, they're allowed to go ahead and be mekasher themselves and adorn themselves and take care of their clothing, like those types of things, in the Beis HaMedrash, in the Beis HaKnesses. Now, the Braisa also said, you don't go into a Beis HaKnesses when it's hot outside to as a reprieve from the heat, and when it's raining, from the rain. Now, the Gemara brings an interesting story related to this halacha, that Kihadra Avina Rav Adar Bar Masna. These two Talmid Chacham have a Kaimi Vishali Shiltami Rava. They were asking a question in learning from Rava. So, Asa Zilcha Dimitra, then suddenly a huge downpour started coming, and Ayla Beit Knisha, they went into the shul. So I mean, they said, this time we went to the shul, la mishum mitra. Wasn't that we should be protected from the rain? Because if we weren't involved in learning, we actually wouldn't go into the shul. You're not allowed to go into the shul to protect yourself from the rain. El mishum, it's only because the shmaita bayit silusa, when you're learning, when you're thinking and learning, when you're talking and learning, you need to have a certain clarity of thought, not to be bothered by anything else in your thought process. Kiyamadistin, like a day of the north wind when everything is calm and relaxed. So we went in simply because so we could continue and thinking and learning, which we couldn't do outside in the rain. But we didn't do just to be protected from the rain, because if we weren't learning, we wouldn't actually go into the shul, because that's forbidden, as we said. Related discussion, the Gemara brings that Ravashi says, if someone has to call someone from shul for something, Samai, what should he do? We said, you're not going to shul for no purpose, like for to get out of the rain or to get out of the heat. So if you need someone from shul, that's also not for a shul purpose. So what do? If you need someone to call him outside? So Amalei said to him, Itzum Rabbanahu, if he's a Talmudic scholar, Lema Hilchasa. Let him say a halacha in the shul. Then he went in for a shul purpose. Once he's there, he can call out that person. Vitanahu, if he's someone who learns braises, Lema Snit, let him say a braise. Vikaruhu, if he's someone who learns chumash, Lema Psukah, let him say a pasuk. Now Vila, if he doesn't know anything of learning, so let him tell a child who in Talmudic times the children were always there learning in the Beis HaKnesses, Emali Psukach, tell me your pasuk. So then he will fulfill the learning by the child telling him the pasuk. Or Inami, or another approach is Nishi Porta Benekim. Let him stay there a little bit and sit down and then get up. Then he fulfilled the mitzvah of just sitting there in the Beis HaKnesses, and then he could call out that person. Additionally, the Braisa said, a speedman Hespel Shiram. Although we said you can't make a eulogy in a shul, but if it's that of the rabbim, if it's necessary for the public, for the tzibur, then one is allowed to. Says the Gemara, Hechadom Hespeid the Ram, what's considered a eulogy of the masses? So Machvi Rav Chizda pointed, Kikoin Hespeid the Koi Rav Sheshes, like a Hespeid, like a funeral, that Rav Sheshes is there. In other words, if one of the family members of Rav Sheshes pass away, so Rav Sheshes from the Gedela Adar, so everyone's going to come, the Gadol's child or whatever it is passed away, so you need a huge open space, then you could use a basic Nessus. Machvi Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes pointed, Kikoin Hespeid the Koi Rav Chizda. He pointed back, he says, and if Rav Chizda is there, because one of his family members died, then that's also sometime that's called Hespeid Shal Rab, that you could use a basic Nessus. Now, the Gemara brings that Raphim Aspada Lekalse Bebe Kanishta. Raphim eulogized his daughter in law in a shul. Amar, he said, Mishum Yikr Didi. With the Mesa, he says, because of my honor, and then from the deceased, from his daughter in law, Asa Kuliyama, ultimately, he was a big gadol. His daughter in law was also a popular person that as a tzaddikah. So everyone's going to come, so we need the room. So therefore, that's considered a Hespel Sharam to do it in a shul. The Gemara continues on this theme that Reb Zera Safte Lahum Rabbanu Bebe Kanishta. Reb Zera eulogized a rabbi in the shul. And Amma, he said, same idea, Mishum Yikr Didi, either because of my honor, because I'm eulogizing, everyone's going to come, Mishum Yikr Didi Demiso, because of the honor, the one who passed away, again, Asa Kuli Amma, everyone's going to come, and again, therefore it's considered a Hesbet Shal Rabbim, so therefore they could be doing it in shul. Now, related, Rish Lakish, Safti, Elahut Tzuvim Rabbanan, same idea of a God eulogizing a Talmudic scholar, so Rish Lakish was eulogizing that young rabbi, the Shchich Ba'aradi Yisrael, who was commonly found in Eretz Yisrael, Davatani Hilchasa, that he learned Mishnayis to his students, Bechavdel Shurasa, in 24 rows of students. So Amar Rish Lakish said, Vai Chasra Aradi Yisrael, Gavar Rabbi says, woe to the land of Eretz Yisrael, that lost a great personage, where, you know, here was someone who taught 24 rows of students Mishnayis. Now, whereas Hahu Davatani Hilchasa, we find there was a person who learned Halachas, which means the same idea of Mishnayis and Halacha Mishmisinai, Sifra, Visifri, which are different Talmudic Mishnaic interpretations of the Chumashim, Viteisefta, and these are the Brises, Vishachav, and he passed away. And Asr Amali Ram Nachman, says, said to Rav Nachman that this person passed away. They said, L'safti Mar, let the master eulogize him. So Amali said, Heichan L'safti, how can I eulogize him? What am I going to say at the eulogy? Hide son of Demoli Sifra, this basket that's full of books, the chassid is not here anymore. This person was like a basket holding svarim. He didn't understand what was inside. So too, although he learned all the halachas and mishnayis and brises, but he never served Talmudic scholars to understand and to learn what's the reasoning of the mishnayis. Because sometimes you have mishnayis and brises that contradict each other and you have to resolve it. Like when the Gemara says, Hachama Iskinan, or when it says, Hamani, who is this? It's that Tana. Or like when it says, Chasur Mechzer, the word's missing. So he says, I don't even know what he knew. So he knew all these texts, but what does that mean? What did he really understand? So it says the Gemara, interesting, Tochazi, come and see, Ma bein tekifi d'Arad Yisrael, the difference between the strong ones of Eretz Yisrael, where we find the Rish Lakish, who he was eulogizing this person, who all he did was teach Mishnayis, where the Gemara says, Mesechtas Yumin of Tesma Beis, that even a great person like Rav Abba Bachana, he didn't talk to in the marketplace, because whoever spoke with Rish Lakish in the marketplace, they would give the person a business deal without even witnesses. So he was considered like a, what's called in Yiddish, a festa person, meaning to say he was very strict about how he interacted with people. And yet still we see how he eulogized him and says, oh, what a great loss. L'chassidei d'Bavel, in contrast to the pious ones of Bavel, meaning regarding Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that he didn't want to eulogize, even though this person knew much more than the first one that Rish Lakish did. Because he says he's a basket full of books, but he himself is, what is he? Where, as the Gemara brings at the end of Masechta Saita, that he was one of the pious ones of Bavel, as he said that, don't say there's no more fear of sin because I'm still around. So although he was a pious one, but you see how he wasn't willing to recognize the significance of this other person, in contrast to, although Rish Lakish was a takif, was a strong, but we see how he eulogized him, even though all he did was teach Mishnayis. Now, relating to this idea of someone who teaches halachas, like we said, Tani Hilchasam, the Gemara says, Tnan Hasam, we learn over there regarding the Maila of such a Talmud Chacham, a Mishnah Masechtas Avos, says, Udishtamish Betaga, whoever utilizes the crown of Torah, Chalaf will pass away from this world. So Tanu Rish Lakish taught, Zeh Mishtamish B'Misha Shoyin Halachis. This refers to someone that learns Halachis. That's Kisra Shal Torah. He's the crown of Torah. Where again, that Halachis means like the Mishnayis and the Brises, which is a tradition that we have going back to Moshe from Sinai. Now, however, V'Amma Ula says that although Rish Lakish is praising someone that just learns the Mishnayis, but he says, L'shtamish Inish B'man D'Tani Arba, it's better for a person to utilize the services, I mean to use, which is not proper to use a Talmud Chacham, it's better use someone who learned four out of the six orders of the Mishnayis. And don't use someone that taught four orders out of the six Siddurim of Mishnayis. I think Gemara brings Kehadir Rish Lakish, where Rish Lakish went according to his opinion, as we said that he held in high regard and that it's forbidden to use someone who even just learns halachas, who learns Mishnayis, that Hava Azal Ba'orcha, he was going on his way, and Matar Urka Demaya, on this path, he sees that there's a huge pool of water that was blocking his path. So Asahu Gav, a certain man came along, and the Arkev HaKasveh, he took Rish Lakish on his shoulders, taking him through that body of water. But Kamavale, he was taking him through. So as he's taking him across, Rish Lakish is making a conversation with him, he said, Karisa, did you learn Chumash? Amalei Karin, he says, yes, I learned Chumash. He says, Tanisa, did you learn Mishnayis? He says, yeah, Tanina Arba Sidri Mishnah. He says, I learned four out of the six orders of the Mishnayis. A Malay said, "Pesaltalach arba turi." He says, "You carved out for yourself four pillars. V'tanis bar Lakish akasvach, and you're carrying bar Lakish, meaning himself, the son of Lakish, on your shoulders. Shadi bar Lakish b'maya, throw Rish Lakish. He didn't call himself bar Lakish, the son of Lakish, into the water." Samalei, but the person said to him, Nichili Dashmin Lamar, said, but I prefer, I want to serve the master and take him across the water. So Rish Lakish said, if that's the case, and this is what we see Rish Lakish honoring this person because he learned Hilchasa, he learned even just four out of the six orders of Mishnayos. But he said, okay, if you really want to carry me, then gamer mini ha milsa damer b'zeira, then at least learn from me the following halacha, which was taught generations later by Reb Zeira, the Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish women, he nechmira al atzman, they were stringent on themselves, shafila raised tibers dam kachargl, although they see even just a size of a mustard seed of blood, yeshivas love shivin akim, they go and they sit and they wait and they make sure that they're considered forbidden until they have seven clean days. Because biblically, a woman does not require seven clean days, only if she sees three consecutive days during the 11 days, what's called Yimei Ziva, between the 7 days of Nida, which is cycles of 7 and 11. But in the beginning of, let's say, when a woman just has a drop of blood, even if she sees for 7 days straight, if she stops at the end of the 7th day, she could immerse herself that night. But the halacha of Zera that Rish Lakish was telling him also, that however the women were stringent on themselves, because not every woman is so proficient in what's called Pesach Nida, the opening of the calendar of where exactly they are on the 11 days between Nida and Nida, because there is complicated. So therefore they were stringent on themselves and said, whenever a woman has a Dam Nida, has a drop of blood, we treat her automatically as a what's called a Zavah Gedayla, and she has to have 7 clean days. Now if one's going to ask, but why, if you have one time a drop of blood, like the size of mustard seed, would you treat as a Zavah Gedayla? At least let them be stringent only when there's 3 consecutive days, because a Zavah is only possible when there's 3 days straight. As the Gemara says, from a Pasuk Mikra to Ezvav, Yamim Rabim B'lo Yesni Dasa, where they learn out Yamim and Rabim means to say 2, which is then a Rabim, 3 days is the minimum that you can become a Zavah Gedayla. Why one drop of blood on 1 day would they treat themselves even stringently as a Zavah Gedayla? So the answer is because sometimes it could be that even just a drop of blood one time could cause a woman to have to now count 7 clean days. How so? If let's say she started counting her 7 clean days after she became a Zavah Gedayla, which she had 3 consecutive days and 11 days of Ziva. Then she counts 7 clean days, and then on the 7th day, if she has even a Re'iyah the size of a mustard seed, that demolishes the whole Shivin Akim, and she has to go and recount, count over the 7 clean days. So it could be that one drop would make you, and since women don't know and they're not good with calendars, therefore, they always said, one drop of blood, 7 clean days. Or another possibility is maybe she saw for the past 2 days, she just wasn't aware. It was just a drop of blood. And she might be in those 11 days. And today she saw and she realizes, which is then 3 consecutive days, which she would require 7 clean days. But although she doesn't know, therefore they were stringent whenever there's a drop of blood that they wait for 7 clean days. Now the Gemara concludes this topic, again continuing on this idea of someone, whoever learns halachas, the Tan Be'Eliyahu, it's taught in the Braisa of Eliyahu, that kol ha'shein halachas, whoever learns halachas, which the Girsa Masech does need, as we have it in the Siddur, is b'chol yayim, every single day, muftuch le'i shehu b'nayim abo, he's guaranteed to be a son of the world to come. Shem like says in the Pasuk in Chavakuk, it says, halichas oylem lo, the ways of the world are his. So he says, al tikri halichas, don't read it, the ways, but rather, because the word could be read a different way too, Ella halachas, rather halachas. The world is the world to come, which is the primary world. It's for that person that is halachas, that learns halachas, which he learns the halacha Meshav Sinai, the Mishnah, the Braises that we have a tradition. The Meshav Sinai, someone who learns that becomes a Ben Olam HaBa. He's guaranteed to be a person who is a product of the world to come.